So everyone's got an answer for everything today. At least it seems that way. Everybody has become an expert on any subject you can imagine, on any situation that's happening, and even an expert on stuff that's going to happen in the future. I'm being a little sarcastic, but that's also true. Google and YouTube have seemingly made us experts on any subject that you want to be an expert on, and social media has given us a platform to communicate that, and we think that everybody should listen to us. The information we have access to in 2020 is incredible. We have more access to information today than any other generation in history, and it's instant. The ability to communicate and talk with anyone, any place in the world, and all you got to do is you got to pull this little device out of your pocket that's made out of plastic and metal. I mean, right now, I could be streaming this live from Mongolia, and that wouldn't faze you at all. The only question you would ask would be, like, why are you in Mongolia right now? I mean, just go back 200 years. Think back to 1820. And in the scheme of world history, that's not that long ago. But go back to 1820 and try to explain FaceTime to somebody. So just think about how hard that would be. So all you need to do is you just pull your phone out of your pocket, dial up any one of your friends, and you can talk to them face to face whenever you want from any place in the world. What? What are you talking about? What am I pulling out of my pocket? What's a phone? What's this time face or FaceTime magic that you speak of? I think about how hard that would be to explain the access to information that we have and the ability to communicate whenever we want, wherever we want, to whoever we want. I mean, that would be a really hard task to explain that to somebody that lived just 100 years ago. What a gift that is for us right now. The ability to access so much information and having the platforms to communicate it on. But there's also a downside to it. It also can make us all armchair quarterbacks if we're not careful. Now, here in Colorado, I know that there are no armchair quarterbacks. You know what I mean? The guy that is at the game in the stands, or the guy sitting on his couch telling Drew Locke or Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers what they should be doing and why they're playing terrible. Like that guy. Have you ever seen that guy before? My favorite is the guy that's got a little bit of Uncle Rico in him. You know, hey, if Coach would have put me in back in 82, we would have won state. I love that guy. The guy that's yelling the entire game, but it's really clear when you see him in the stands that he's probably never stepped foot in a weight room before, and he's definitely not been on a treadmill for years. The guy that had barely enough athletic ability to make it up the stairs to his seat in the stands without tripping. That guy. And he's gonna yell the entire game about what plays the Broncos should be running, where the Raiders are vulnerable on defense, and then at the same time, why the Broncos would make the playoffs if they would just listen to what he has to say. And the reason he says all of that, the reason why he's the expert, at least in his own mind, the reason why people should listen to him is because he played JV football his sophomore year in high school. That's it. That's the reason why he's making suggestions to NFL players and coaches. Like, have you sat by that guy before the game? Man, I have, and it's just every time you sit by that guy, you just want to say, hey, bro, shh, like, just stop talking. Just because you played a year of high school football, it doesn't make you an expert. You don't know what you're talking about. All it does is it makes you more apt to be an armchair quarterback. The access and information we have today, the platforms we're able to communicate it on, we run the same risk of becoming armchair quarterbacks. We've got the answers. You know, I read this article over here yesterday, or I saw on Facebook this morning, or I talked to a friend of a friend who knows another guy that's an expert on this, or, you know, I've done the research, I've watched videos on YouTube. I know what I'm talking about. I know what we should be doing. I know the direction we should be going. All it does is turn us into armchair quarterbacks. We're part of the problem, not the solution. Because armchair quarterbacks usually make things worse, not better. Let me tell you what I mean. Someone who presumes to be an expert, someone that thinks that they've got all the answers and that people should be listening to them, is gonna be harmful from the start, not helpful. Because number one, they're coming from a position of pride. You know, I got the answers, I'm the expert, people should be listening to me. And right out of the gate, that's gonna be a default position of looking down on people, tearing people apart that disagree with you, and you're gonna have a harsh tone. Man, that's just a recipe for disaster. That's not going to fix anything. That's just going to make more of a fracture, lead to more division, more pain, not progress and unity. And I'm just seeing, I don't know about you, but I'm just seeing more and more of this, and crisis seems to magnify it even more. Listen to Psalm 131. It says this, "Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters that are too great or too awesome for me to grasp." So there's so much in that one verse. Man, I don't know about you, but that calls me out. Pride? Yep, I wrestle with that. Haughty? Haughty's not really a word that we use very much, but what it means is you're arrogant and you're prideful. You're willing to look down on other people with a big attitude that you think you're better than yourselves. And we don't see any of that today, do we? Or what about this? What about concerning myself with things that are too great? That's just another way of saying wrapping myself up in stuff that I really don't know what I'm talking about, stuff that I'm not an expert on. And that describes American culture in 2020 perfectly. All of that, pride, arrogance, getting wrapped up in things that I really don't know much about, that's commonplace today. And all of us are vulnerable to it. All of us can fall into that. And like I said earlier, crisis seems to just magnify it. I mean, look at what we're seeing happening every single day. There's so much division in this, whether it's this belief that, hey, we should open everything up right now, or no, not at all. We should keep every single thing closed. Or I read this article over here and it said these are the real statistics. Or no, I read this article over here and it said these are the real statistics. Or we should follow this person. They're the one that should lead us forward. Or no, are you kidding me? We should follow this person. They're leading us forward. Or here's a really fun one. All of this is the Republicans' fault. Or all of this is the Democrats' fault. Man, it's so easy for let's just say me. And I say me, I mean all of us, but we can point it at me right now. It's so easy for me to believe that my opinion is the right one and that anybody who disagrees with me, well, they're just dumb. We've become so good at just looking down on people. It's become our national pastime. Baseball is not our pastime anymore. It's looking down on people and tearing apart anybody who disagrees with us. We've become so good at that. And when that happens, we see someone who disagrees with us and we tear them apart, then we give our resume and what we know as if we really think that we know what we're talking about. We give what we know to prove that they're the idiots over there and we're the ones that know what we're talking about. Man, and this is just a cycle that keeps building and building and building. This bothers me. Step one of the cycle is become an armchair quarterback. You know everything that you're talking about. Become an armchair quarterback. Then step two is be the loudest voice possible. Step three, tear apart anybody who opposes your view. And then step four, repeat the process. I mean, that's happening over and over and over again. So let me ask a question. When did becoming right at the expense of someone else's dignity become okay? I mean, we just shred people today. We just tear them apart. Anybody that disagrees with us, we'll even just shred them to the point where we're removing their dignity as a human being. When did that be okay? And maybe that sounds like an exaggeration. I don't know, but is it? I mean, things are so polarizing right now. You're either contributing to the polarization or you're part of the solution. Like, which one are you? Now, don't get me wrong. It's great to know what's going on. It's great to educate yourself and be informed on issues or topic. That's a really good thing. That's also needed. But if it leads to division, well, then we've crossed the line. So disagreement's okay. Disagreeing with people can actually be a really good thing if it's kept in unity. I don't want to be surrounded by people that just agree with me. If that's the case, like, how am I ever going to grow? How am I ever going to be sharpened? How am I going to see blind spots that may exist in my thinking? If you're surrounding yourself with only the voices that agree with you, that's where groupthink is born. And that is never a good thing. There is so much division today all around us. And unfortunately, division starts at disagreement. As soon as someone disagrees with us, then we're divided. We like, that person's wrong. They must hate me because they disagree with me. Let's go on the offensive to attack them, prove they're wrong, prove that we're right. Man, Christians should not be the ones that contribute to the division that's going on all around us. As Christians, we should be the examples of how to disagree while preserving dignity and keeping unity. I mean, this is one of the reasons why the Bible is awesome, because it gives practical applications for our lives right now. So unity and progress moving forward. That's not gonna happen if you or I are prideful or arrogant or know-it-all. Like, are you the person that knows all the answers? If we check your Facebook or Instagram account, if we read your emails that you send out, if we listen to your conversation, are you the person that has all the answers? That's not a good thing. I mean, let me give you a couple examples. This is Romans. It says this, Romans 12:16. Don't think you know it all. It's pretty direct. Isaiah 5:21. How sad is it for those who are wise in their own eyes and think they're so clever? Proverbs 3:7. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. 1 Corinthians 8:2. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. Wow, that's pretty direct. I mean, I got to check myself on that. Don't get wrapped up in stuff that I don't know what I'm talking about. Don't be impressed about what I think I know. Don't be impressed with the wisdom that I have, because anyone who thinks they know all the answers doesn't know very much. That's pretty direct. You've met that person before too, haven't you? The one that's got all the answers and they want you to know about it too. And the reason why they want you to know it is because the person that has all the answers, they usually want all the attention too. But always letting people know what you know, always being the loudest voice that has all the answers, that's a sign of insecurity. Most of the time, the loudest voices are the ones that you should listen to the least. In fact, the loudest voice in the room is usually the most insecure voice. Show me someone who makes lots of big statements, and I'll show you someone you need to avoid. But show me somebody that listens. Now I'll show you somebody that I want to listen to what they have to say. And the more you think you know, the more you'll feel like you have to prove everything you know to other people. The more you think you know, the more willing you're going to be to look down on other people. The more you think you know, the more you'll feel like you've got to prove everything you know to everybody else. The more you think you know, the more willing you're going to be to look down on other people. The more you think you know, the more willing you're going to be to tear apart anybody who's got a differing view than you. And all of that's a product of pride. That's where so much of the division comes from today, is pride. I'm the one that's got the answers. I'm the one that's the expert. I'm the one that people should listen to. Don't listen to those people over there. They have no clue. Like, how arrogant is that? I mean, that's bad if just one person has that disposition. But what if we all had that mentality? I mean, how bad would that be? Well, we're seeing what that looks like today. But there's good news. There's an alternative. Verse 2 says this. It says, instead, that's a great transition word. Instead of pride, arrogance, having all the answers, instead, I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. So calmed and quieted myself. That sounds nice. A weaned child. It's talking about humility and contentment. Humility is the opposite side of the coin. And what this song is talking about, and really what the entire Bible will tell you, is that humility is the key for being calm, for being quiet. Like, not necessarily quiet outside. I mean, I live in a house with 3 kids. There is no such thing as quiet. But quiet in here, and contentment. And that may rub against us because our human nature says we need to succeed at all cost. Make sure that you're on top. Make sure that people are listening to you. Make sure that people are looking up to you so you can't lessen yourself. And maybe that's what we think humility is, that I have to become a lesser person. But that couldn't be further from the truth. That's not what humility means at all. A great definition for humility, and I heard this years ago, is that humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. That's a huge difference. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. You are created in the image of God. You have intrinsic value and worth, so you can't think less of that. Jesus went to the cross specifically for you. He didn't go to the cross for somebody that he thinks is lesser. He lessened himself so that you don't have to. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. It means, man, I'm not the dominant thought in my own thoughts anymore. I'm not just thinking about myself all the time. Pride creates insecurity. So you've got to think about yourself more, and you've got to prove yourself even more. But humility does the opposite. Humility actually creates security. So you can think about yourself less. And you don't have to think about yourself all the time. You don't have to prove yourself anymore. Man, this is a lesson that I haven't learned. It's a lesson that I'm learning. Psalm 131 is easy to read. It's quick to read. But it takes a long time to learn. And I've struggled with this for as long as I can know. Trying to prove myself, trying to come across like I've got all the answers, whether whether that's in sports or job or in leadership. I mean, I've tried to prove myself. I've tried to look like I've got all the answers. And at times I've even believed that I do. And all of that, it's just fueled by my pride. Here's what I've struggled with. And I don't know if you can relate to this or not. I've struggled with this as, I don't know, as long as I can remember. I have this desire for people to think highly of me. I want that. I've grown in it. As I've matured more in my faith, man, that's not as much of a struggle, but it's something I have my entire life to this point, and I think it's gonna be with me the rest of my life, trying to get people to think highly of me. And whenever I give into that desire, whenever I feed that desire, all it does is make it bigger and bigger and bigger, and it creates more insecurity in me. That means that encouragement that I get becomes less valuable. It has less of an effect on me, but criticism hurts a whole lot more. It means I got to continue to try to prove myself over and over so that people will think highly of me. And that, man, that's never calmed me. It's never quieted me. All it does is put me more on edge. I don't know if you can relate to that. Maybe that's why so many people are at each other's throats today, because we're all just trying to prove ourselves. We're all just trying to get people to think that we're something more than we are, or better than we are. Impress people. I don't know if you can relate to that. Maybe you feel that way right now. Verse 2 said this, that my eyes are not haughty, meaning I'm not looking down on other people. So this is a good key for us right now. What direction are your eyes looking? Here's a good rule of thumb. The direction of your eyes will show you the disposition of your heart. Like whatever you're looking at, up or down, will show you the real disposition of your heart. If you're looking down, that's a disposition of pride. I'm looking down on other people. It's judgmental. It's condescending. I'm looking down on people. That's pride. But looking up, that's a disposition of humility. Looking up at Jesus, looking up at him on a cross, because the cross was the ultimate display of humility and the ultimate execution of pride in one single moment. Jesus had every single reason to be proud, but he chose on every occasion to be humble. I mean, listen to Philippians 2. This is verse 3-8. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. That kind of humility, that's where calm and that's where quiet, that's where contentment really comes from. Pride says, you gotta be loud. But humility lets you be quiet. Arrogance leaves you angry, it just leaves you upset. Humility lets you be calm. Man, that kind of humility, when you follow Jesus' lead in humility, thinking of yourself less, thinking of others more, obediently following God's call, man, not trying to prove yourself, not having to know all the answers. When you follow that kind of humility, that's where contentment comes from. If you want to be calm, if you want to be quiet here, if you want contentment, Psalm 131 says the key is humility. Humility is the key. Following Jesus' disposition, that's the key. I want that. I want to be calm all the time. I want to be quiet in here. I want to be content. And just think about it. What if we all were like that? What if we all lived in a world that was calm? I mean, can you imagine that? Like, I can't even wrap my head around being in a world that was calm and quiet here and content. What kind of impact would that have? So just dream with me for a second. Let's just hypothetically think. What if we all thought about ourselves less and we weren't our own focal points anymore? I mean, the thought of ourselves is not the dominant thing that's going on in our minds. What if we didn't even know the definition of the word selfie? Like, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with them, but what if? What if we decided to honor people instead of tearing them down because they disagreed with us? Like, what if we tried to listen to people that disagree with us so that we can understand instead of listening to them so we can just prove our own point? Like, what if we used our social media to spread encouragement and inspiration instead of spreading our own agendas and opinions? How different would that be? Like, now is the time. Right now is the time for us to stand up and be unified and humble like Jesus. Not only to be humble, but act in humility like Jesus. Because people are hungry for humble people. Despite what you may think, our world is not drawn to pride. It's not drawn to people that are very proud and puff of their chest. Our world is actually drawn to humble people. They can't get away from them. There's something so different about humility. I'm drawn to that. People are drawn to humility like moths are drawn to a flame. Like now is the time for us to honor people instead of tearing them down. Now is the time for us to listen and understand instead of being the ones that are speaking all the time. Now is the time for us to disagree, be examples of how to disagree, but keep unity. Now is the time to point people to the hope that's only found in Jesus, the only place where they can find true calmness, true quiet, and true contentment. Psalm 131 ends it like this. It says, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord now and always. So as an individual, put your hope in Jesus right now and always. As a church, LifeBridge, we're gonna put our hope in Jesus right now and always. And when you carry the humility that Jesus has, when you think of yourself less, when you think of others more, when you're not trying to prove yourself, when you're calm, quiet, and content, other people are gonna notice that. They're gonna be drawn to it. They're gonna say, what's different about you? Man, what an opportunity you've got right there to say, hey, my hope is in Jesus. Let me tell you about that. What an opportunity. And now's the time for us as a church to show humility like Jesus in a world where personal pride is flaring and also failing at the same time. Now is the time for us to be examples of what it looks like to disagree but still be in unity. Now is the time for us to show how to honor people who disagree with us, not just tear them down. Like, we get to be that church right now. We get to be followers of Christ that do that on a regular basis, and the world will take notice. So right now, what I want to do is I want to give you some time to reflect on that. I want to give you some time to reflect on the ultimate act of humility, which was Jesus on the cross. Communion's a time where we can take some bread or crackers and break it to represent Jesus's broken body. We can take some juice to represent his blood and take that, remembering what he did for you and what he did for me on the cross. So do that as a family, do that as friends or a group together right now. And I want to give you some time to reflect on that. And also, I want to give you time to continue to worship by giving back tithes and offerings. Our giving is just another way to worship God and say, God, I trust you with everything in my life, including my money. I want to give back to you because you've been so generous to me. You can do that on our website or on the PushPay app. So take some time to take communion. Take some time to give as an act of worship. And then we have got some more reflection questions that you can just process together as a family or as a group together. Guys, I love you. I miss you. I can't wait to see you again in person. But right now, I want to take a second. I just want to pray for you. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for a display of humility. Thank you that we don't have to know all the answers because you do. We just have to follow you. Father, I pray that you would keep us unified, that you would give us a hunger for humility, that we would be a people that display humility, that don't tear people down, but we would be a church that honors other people, especially people that don't agree with us, as a reflection of you. Help us to be more like you, Jesus. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Have a great week, guys.